Yeah, but I think somebody had it.
17 or 18 B, is it something like that?
14 B.
Yeah, sure. Michael, just get my shot to the right page for today, do me a favor, please.
For both, I apologize. I'm very sorry.
But you got good excuse then.
I don't have you.
Should be your mind.
I can't work under these conditions. All right, then we'll say we're starting to learn Daf Yomi. We're starting this year. All right, today's Daf.
It's okay.
I'm good. Today's Daf is Pei Zayin. We're going to start to the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Beis. I want to thank the sponsors of today's Shir, Greg and Rachel Levitan, for the sponsoring the Shir information on the Yurt site of Greg's cousin Marcy Sachs, Mashi Bas Chana. We hope that in the Meritzah Talmud Torah and Shem will have an Aliyah. All right, so what's we left off yesterday on page Pei Vav Amud Beis. We left off specifically 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara writes, "Mitshuvas hamuchlot." Excuse me. Mefarsimin es hachanifin. Literally, thank you, Moshe. Thank you. Literally, we go ahead and we publicize chanifin. I was looking at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Over here, mefarsimin es hachanifin shehin rishoyim." Chanifin, literally, chanifa. Flattery, right. Our literal chanifin refers to people who are disingenuous, right? There's a better word for it, disingenuous. I'm sorry?
Hypocrites.
Good people are hypocritical. So Rashi points out over here that first minute sa chanifin, shehein reshoin. These people are really evil. Umarin atzmon kitzadikim. But yet they portray themselves as righteous. Im yesh makir b'ma'asov, mitzuvah lafarsimo. If someone knows their true nature, there is a mitzvah essentially to out them. Why? Because it could cause the desecration of God's name. Shebnei Adam lemeidin mima'asov, because people can learn from his actions. Shesvurin alav shu tzaddik, because ultimately they think that he's a tzaddik. So number one, the issue is that if a person is a hypocrite, a person is disingenuous and puts forward an image of piety, but in reality is not righteous at all, but is, God forbid, evil, then first of all, the person will think because he's righteous, they should learn from his actions. And because they should learn from his actions, they may actually learn the wrong things to do. Furthermore, this is very interesting. Va'od kishaba alav poranos. When, if negative things happen to this individual, b'nei adam omrim ma hoi lo zichus. So you will say, furthermore, if people think that he's righteous, and then negative things happen, that people will say, oh, why do bad things happen to good people? When in fact, he's not a good person at all. Therefore, the Gemara says, there is a mitzvah. Mefarsimi. We go ahead and we reveal hypocritical, disingenuous people because of Chil Hashem, that's involved. Shneemar, ubeshuv tzadik mitzidko. When the tzaddik returns from his righteousness, va'asa aval v'nasati michshal lefanav. So literally, when the tzaddik becomes evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will place a stumbling block before him that will cause his evilness to be revealed. Tshuvas hamuchlotin ma'akeves haporanus. The tshuva even of thoroughly wicked people, Rashi says over here, hamuchlotin, Rashi says is rishoyim gimurin. The tshuva of rishoyim gimurin ma'akeves poranus has the ability to stop punishment. And I will say what this means ultimately is that even someone who is thoroughly wicked, if the person does genuine tshuva, that tshuva has the ability to stave off punishment. And that's true, even if judgment or punishment has already been sealed against that individual. Shavas rishoyim, sofa takala. Peace for the wicked, or tranquility for the wicked, ultimately becomes their stumbling block. Rashi says over here, Shavas rishoyim sofa takala, mitoch shavusam, because of their peacefulness, because of their peace, heim yoshvin umaharin ba'averos. The Gemara seems to say that when the wicked have tranquility in life, it's actually a bad thing because it gives them more time to be able to hash negative plans. V'harashus mekaberes es ba'aleha. The rashus, what's rashus, Rabbosai? Rashi says, over here, rashus, rabonos. The rabonos ultimately buries those who hold it. Rabbosai, Yeah. So sorry, put my resume out. So remember what this means when he uses this term rabbonos. What it means is leadership positions. So people hold leadership positions. So leadership positions have a way of prematurely aging the individual. That's Lashon HaMikaber says Ba'alel. So I'm sorry. You must coming from a braisa. There's all a braisa over here. Arum nichnas la va'arum yotzei mena. Literally, if a person takes a leadership position, he goes in unclothed and he comes out unclothed. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, well, first of all, Rashi says, Mikaberes Ba'ale, Rashi quotes, Shine'emar Vayamos Yosef Tchila, Va'achar Kach Kol Echo. It's very interesting that the raya for this is that Yosef died before his brothers, even though he was the second to youngest. The Gemara attributes his premature death to the yoke of leadership that he bore upon him. It ultimately sent him to the grave a little bit early. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Arum Michnas, Arum Yatsa means that a person goes in naked, comes out naked, which means that there's not all that much to be gained materially from leadership positions. That although it may vest one with authority, it does not vest one with money. Ulevai shetehe yitzia kibia. And halevai, you should manage to come out of it the same way that you went into it. Rashi says, Ulevai shetehe yitzia. Mimena belochet kibia. The same Rebbe said that when you come in, people come into leadership positions innocent, but somehow, again, the yoke of leadership has a way of changing the individual. So halavai that a person should be able to come out of that position without sin, in the way that we went into the position without sin. So the Gemara tells a story. Rav or a meisa Rav ki hava nafik lemei dandina. When Rav would go out to adjudicate a case, Amar Hachi, he would say the following. In this, he was referring to himself. Bitzavu nafshe liktala nafik. Of his own will, he goes out to death. Now, Rav is referring to himself. Of my own will, I go out to death. What does he go out to death? He's a judge. You know, the Gemara says that if a judge perverts justice, then lemaisa, again, it's like there's a death penalty on the judge. Not literally, of course. But the judge has to make sure that the world runs in the right way. So he says, on my own free will, my own volition, I go out to be killed. V'tzavu beisei, utzavu beisei, les hu ovid. And literally the wishes of my house, of his household, he's referring to himself in the third person, the wishes of his household, he does not fulfill, which also means that in a position of leadership, so the needs of the community come first, and your own personal needs, your house, your familial needs, all come second. He comes home empty to his home. Reikon lebeise means, and after the whole day of serving the community, it's not like he becomes well. I don't become wealthy from it. And halavai shetehe bia ki yitzia. And halavai that I should be able, after I finish my service to the community, halavai I should be as innocent when I come out as I was when I went in. Rava ki nafik ledina. When Rava said, the Gemara tells the same story by Rav and Rava. So Rava, when he would go ahead and go out to judgment, Amar Hachi, he would say the following, top of Pei Zayin. Bitzavu nafshe, liktala nafik, of his own free will, he goes out to be killed. Again, Rav will say, another kit Rashi, bitzavu nafshe, top Rashi, biritzon atzmo, of his own free will, he goes out to be killed. Rashi says, liktala azil, lisa onesh. Lisa oneshchet shema yiske bedin va'al atzmo omerkim. So what does it mean? I go out for death. That lemais again, there's a potential death penalty on my head if I don't adjudicate the case correctly. V'reikon lebeisi azel. Yet after serving the community for a full day, I come back empty, representing that there's no real material reward. Ulevai shete bia kietzia. But halavai that the way I emerge from this position should at least allow me to be as pious as I was when I came into it. So the Gemara goes on. V'chi chazu amivua. And when he saw the amivua, and I will say, the pashtus, this is referring to Rava, because the Gemara doesn't introduce a new personality. So we'll assume right now that this is referring to Rava. And when Rava would see the amivua, now what's amivua? Rashi doesn't quote over here, but amivua means a large group of people. When Rava was walking, is there Rashi over here?
Yeah, fourth
line. Last line. Oh, thank you. Good. I'm sorry. Amavua gidure gidude bnei adam holkin achra lechvodo. Thank you. That when he saw the large group of people walking after him, people would assemble. People would follow Rava when he was walking. So he would say, "Amar im ya'ala l'shamayim sio." if ultimately, if say, means my greatness. If my greatness were to ascend to the heavens, virosho la'av yagia, and my head were to ascend to the clouds, kiglolo lanetzach yovad. I'm really nothing more than a piece of dung. Kiglolo lanetzach yovad. Gavol is dung. Lanetzach eternity. Yovad will be lost. V'roav yomru ayo. Those who see me will say, where is he? So we'll say, Rava quoted this passage from Iyov, ultimately as we have him humbling himself. That although there were these throngs of people that were assembling by him, he said, at the end of the day, what am I? At the end of the day, I'll disappear just like the piece of dung. Rav Zutra, Gihava Mekasvile Shabsa Derigla, Surmar Zutra, Rav Zutra, when they would lift him up on their shoulders on the Shabbos of the Regal. Now, what is this talking about? Avila Kitrashi, Mekasvile Zakin Hoya. So Rav Zutra was an old man. Vinosin also ba'almiki bekasveyem, the base hamedrash, shelo la'atriach asatzib or lakum ba'al. So also listen to this. Rav Zutra was old, and when he come into the shir, right, when the Rebbe would walk into the room, so the Talmidim would all stand up. Rav Zutra was old, so it would take him a long time to walk from the entrance of the room to his seat, which would have been a potential tircha. So what did his Talmidim do? His Talmidim put him on a chair. They lifted him up and they quickly carried him to the front of the room. So obviously an incredible display of kavod. So Rav Zutra, when they would do this, Shabsa de Rigla Avosai means that on the, either this means the Shabbos before Yom Tov or Shabbos of Yom Tov, it was those Shabbosos in close proximity to Yom Tov where they would have massive shiurim, where they would talk about the halachos of the upcoming Chag. So on that Shabbos, where all these people were assembled, Hava Omer, he would say, Kilo la'olam chasam, quote over here, Kilo la'olam chosen, because literally my power will not endure for all eternity. Ve'im nezer ledor vador. And ve'im nezer ledor vador. And the crown will not last from generation to generation. In other words, Rabbosai, what these Rabbanim were saying is in these moments of incredible displays of kavod, they said these pesukim to humble themselves. Shouldn't get too carried away with it. Pasuk in Agmar quotes the pasuk from Mishlei. Se'is p'nei rasha lotov. Literally, the Gemara is literally interpreting it is, seis means the lifting up of the face of the Rasha is not good. What does that mean? Lotov lahem l'rishayim, shenosin lahem panim ba'olam azeh. It is not good when God shows favor to the wicked in this world. The Gemara says, how do we know this? So the Gemara says, lotov lo la'achav, shenosu l'aponim li'olam azeh. It is not good that God showed favor to Achav in this world. Remember, Achav was one of the kings of the kingdom of Israel, and Achav was an exceptional, exceptional Rasha. Except one thing happened. Shnei Emar, Ya'an ki nichna Achav milafanai lo avi hara'a biyamav. So both like Kodesh Baruch Hu says that ultimately the house of Achav is going to be totally wiped out. For everything I did negative, the house of Achav is going to be wiped out. But Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I will spare Achav from this punishment. I will spare Achav himself from the punishment. Why was Achav spared from the punishment? Because Achav, when Eliyahu HaNavi told him that Kodesh Baruch Hu was going to wipe out his entire male line, Achav tore his clothing. So Achav demonstrated some level of respect for the decree of God. Because of that respect, ultimately, he was spared from the decree, and the decree was visited upon the next generation. But what the Gemara suggests over here is, it's not good when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows favor to the Rishon. Why? Because what does that effectively mean? God is giving them their reward for whatever merits they have in this world, which means then they will have nothing left for the next. Lahatos tzadik b'mishpat. So remember, this is the same pasuk. Lahatos tzadik b'mishpat literally means to tilt the tzaddik in judgment, which the Gemara seems to indicate that means that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu tilts the judgment of the tzaddikim to punish them in this world. He says, Tov lohem l'tzaddikim, she'in nosin lohem panem ba'olam hazeh. It is good for the righteous that God sometimes does not show them favor in this world. Why? Tov lo l'moshe, shelo nosin panem ba'olam hazeh. It is good that God did not show Moshe favor in this world. Shina emar, ya'an Elohe emantem bi'lahak disheni. Because what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't show favor to Moshe. Moshe wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept saying no. Why is that good? Ha'ilu ha'emantem. Because ultimately, had God showed favor to Moshe Rabbeinu, which means literally, had Moshe Rabbeinu not hit the rock, or had Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock and God not punished him so severely, adayin lo higia zmanem lipater lina olam. Moshe Rabbeinu would not yet have been able to leave this world. So the Gemara ultimately sees it as a schus for Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was able to get to Olam Haba. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't view it as a schus, because the truth is, Judaism is a very life-affirming religion. No one really looks forward to the schus, at least we're not supposed to look forward to the schus, of going to Olam Haba, but the Gemara feels at the end of the day, I guess ex post facto, Moshe Rabbeinu had the schus of spending less time in this world, more time in the world to come. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Ashrim l'tzadikim, praiseworthy are the righteous. Lo dayon shehin zochin, ela shemezakin livnehem, v'livnehem ad sof kol adoros. Well, so listen to this. The righteous, not only do they themselves merit, but they pass on that merit to their children and their children's children for all generations. The Gemara says, where do we know this from? Shekama banim hayu lo di Aaron. Shiruim li zarfa. We'll say, how many sons did Aaron have that really should have been killed? We'll say, the Gemara talks about this elsewhere as well, that it wasn't just Nadav and Avihu who should have been killed, but rather it was Elazar and Itamar who should have been killed as well. So what happens? So, I'm sorry. Kama banim hayu lo di Aaron shiruim li zarfa kino dev Avihu shne'emar hano sorin. I will say, it's interesting, it refers to Elazar and Itamar as an Osarim, literally the leftovers, the ones who were left over. So that Loshon seems to indicate that they were really included in the Gezerah being killed as well. So why weren't they? Ela sha'amad lahem zuchus avihem. Why were Elazar and Itamar spared? Because of the merit of their father Aaron. Oy lahem l'rishon, woe to the wicked. Lo dayon shemechayin atzman. It's not enough that they obligate themselves in punishments. But rather, their wickedness is ultimately passed down to all future generations, and those future generations are held responsible for the wickedness of their forefathers. The Gemara says, "Kama banim." Excuse me, I'm sorry. Harbe banim. How you love the Kenan? We'll say Kenan. Remember who is Kenan? Kenan ultimately is the grandson. Is the grandson of Noach, right? Ham is the son of Ham. Canaan is the son of Ham. So what happens? The Gemara says, "How?" And remember, part of when the whole episode with Noah happens, right? When Ham comes along and sees the nakedness of his father and is disparaging about it. So remember that Noah curses Ham, and he says to Ham, "You're going to be a nation. Your offspring will be avodim, will be slaves to the children of Shem and Yafes." So the Gemara says, "How many sons did Canaan have? Shiruuyin lisamech kitavi." Kitavi Avdo Shabbi Gamliel. Also remember, Rabbi Gamliel had a slave, had a servant, Tavi. Tavi was an Eved Kenani, but Tavi was also an outstanding Talmid Chacham. Tavi, once he was freed, had got smicha. Remember, ultimately he was a matzpeh. Rabbi Gamliel got smicha. So how many sons should Kenan have had that were like Tavi? Ella Shechovas Avihen Garmalahem. But ultimately, again, the iniquity or the guilt of their father caused the generations not to actualize. Kala mezakeh es harabim, anyone of Osai who ultimately is mezakeh the rabbim. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, no, not yet, I'm sorry. Kala mezakeh es harabim, anyone who literally, this is talking about somebody who becomes an enabler, someone who enables others to grow, somebody who enables others to acquire zechuyos, ein chet ba al yado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves such a person from sinning. Look at Rashi. Ein chet ba'al yado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matcha mipanav es ha'averu shlo tavol yado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents sins from materializing through his hands. V'chol amach di eser ad. Rabbi will say, anybody who, God forbid, causes the general public to sin, kim'at ein maspikin b'yado la'asos tshuva. It's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give such a person an opportunity to do tshuva. Also, it is an amazing idea that l'maisa, even worse than sinning yourself, is machti asarabim. When you cause others to stumble, that is, the Gemara says, you see the severity over here, it's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not really going to give you an opportunity to either do tshuva. Why? Because when you cause others to sin, there's no real way to rein in on that damage. If I go ahead and I sin myself, okay, I control myself. I can go ahead and fix myself. You've broken others, it's very difficult to somehow fix that dynamic. As a result, Gemara, it's almost, now the Gemara used Lashon of almost, because the Gemara is not prepared to say that you actually don't have the ability to do tshuva, but it's this close. It's this close to being deprived of the opportunity to do tshuva. The Gemara says, Kalam Zakeh Sram Inchid Baal Yodo. If somebody is an enabler for the growth of other rabbim, of the general populace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents opportunities from sin from coming to him. My time, what's the reason? Because they will say, what's the problem? There's going to be an inequality. If I'm a Zaki the Rabbim, but I myself have done a lot of bad, so what's going to end up happening? After 120, I'm going to be in Gehenna, and my Talmidim, who I inspired, are going to be in Gan Eden. So Chiddush Baruch Hu says, that's not fair. That's not fair. If I'm the catalyst for other people's growth, then Lamais, again, I should at least be able to share in their reward as well. Shene Emar, Kilo Sa'azov Nafshi Lish'ol. You will not literally leave my soul. Sha'ol means in the depths. Lo sitin chasidcho liros shachas. You will not allow your chasid to see destruction. And ultimately, again, anyone who causes the rabbin to sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyocho almost removes the ability to do tshuva. Why? Shelo yehu began eden v'tamidav v'gehenem. Because I've also, again, if I cause others to sin, maybe I didn't sin myself, in which case I have a nice, beautiful Gan Eden, but the people I caused to sin are going to be in Gan Eden. That's not fair either. Shnei Amar, Adam, the Gemara quotes over here, the Pasuk, from Mishle. Adam, os Ashuk, Bidam Nevesh, Ad Bor Yonos, Al Yismich Kubo. Literally, a person is ashuk, a person is involved or immersed in blood of the soul. He will go ahead and run to the bar to Gehenim. Al yitmichu bo, do not support him. Ha'omer echtev ashuv, echtev ashuv. Remember again, so the Mishnah spoke about the case that a person who said, I'm going to sin and do tshuva, I'm going to sin and do tshuva. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah said, that Yom Kippur does not help for such an individual. Let me read to you. I'm sorry. Ha'omer echteva ashuv, echteva ashuv. Ein maspikin biyado la'asos tshuva. The person who dafka sins on the condition that he's going to go ahead and do tshuva, he's not left with the opportunity to really do tshuva. Similarly, the Gemara said, echto v'yom kippur mechaper, ein yom kippur mechaper. The person says, I'm going to sin, and Yom Kippur will be mechaper. Yom Kippur does not work under those circumstances. So the Gemara says, lamali v'neimar echteva ashuv, echteva ashuv. Trezimni. Why does it have to say, I will sin and do tshuva, sin and do tshuva? Why does it have to write that twice? So the Gemara says, Ki de Rav Huna Amar Rav. Like Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. Dam Rav Huna Amar Rav. Kevan sha'avar adam aveira v'shanaba. Once a person did an aveira and went ahead and repeated it, hutralo. I will say, so once a person engages in the same behavior twice, it becomes a heter. So the Gemara says, hutralo becomes permitted. Sagalaitcha. But to both say, once a person does something twice, of course it doesn't actually become permitted, but rather what? For the individual, it appears like it is permitted. A person says, I will sin, and Yom Kippur will atone. Yom Kippur does not atone. So the Gemara says, say that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rebbe. Disanya. Rebbe Omer, I will say this is amazing. You know, Rebbe says, "Kol averos shebetorah, all averos in the Torah, bein asa tshuva, bein lo asa tshuva, yom hakipurim mechaper." I will say, Rebbe says that what? Any averos in the Torah, whether you did tshuva, you didn't do tshuva, yom kippur is mechaper. So it's an amazing sheet of Rebbe. Rebbe says what we call what comes to be known as the phrase of itzumo shel yom mechaper. The essence of the day itself atones, even if I do absolutely nothing. Nothing, the day itself atones for me. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that the Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Rebbe, because the Mishnah said that if a person says, I'm going to sin and Yom Kippur will be mechaper, Yom Kippur is not mechaper. According to Rebbe, Yom Kippur is mechaper, even if you sin on the condition that Yom Kippur is mechaper. To which the Gemara says, no, afilu tema Rebbe, the Mishnah can even reflect the view of Rebbe, agov shiny. They will say, even Rebbe will agree, when Rebbe says, itzmush mechaper, that the essence of the day atones. What Rabbi was saying is, in a normal case, if a person intentionally sins with the understanding that Yom Kippur is going to be mechaper, such a circumstance, Yom Kippur is not mechaper. Aviros shebein adam lamakom. So I will say, if you remember again, the Mishnah said that Aviros bin adam lamakom, so sins committed between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately Yom Kippur is mechaper, but Aviros bin adam lechabero, I have to ask my friend for mechilo. So Ramile Rav Yosef bar Chavu Rabbi Avo. So Rav Yosef bar Chavu raised the Kach Rabbi Avo. Averos shebein adam lechavero. If there are averos bin adam lechavero, ain yom kippur mechaper. I will say, if I have wronged another, Yom Kippur does not atone for that. I v'hak siv. The pasuk says. So here the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Shmuel Aleph. Im yechta ishtarei'ehu. If a person will sin against his fellow, ufilalo Elohim, and literally he will be appeased by Elohim. Man Elohim, who is this Elohim? Dayana, this refers to the judges. Iachi, if that's the case. So also what the Gemara is trying to prove over here, what it seems to be trying to prove over here, look at Rashi just a moment. V'hok siv upilalo Elohim, v'kasaka daitcha upilalo loshon tfila, upius husha kodesh baruch umefalalo umefaisu mechaperla. I was like, the Gemara is bringing this pasuk as a kasha. Because the Gemara said before that Lamaisa, if you have Averos being Adam Lechavero, so that has nothing to do with God, that has to do with you and your fellow man. And if you want forgiveness for that, you must appease your fellow. The Gemara then quotes this pasuk that says that if a person sins against his fellow, Ufilalo Elokim, I should really read it originally Elokim, because the Havamina is that it refers to God. If a person wrongs his fellow, and ultimately he will dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will be forgiven, which sounds like what? That you can take care of Ben Adam Lechavero issues by praying to God. To which the Gemara says, no. Man Elohim, who is the Elohim referred to over here? Dayana. It's referring to judges. So meaning, therefore what the Pasuk is saying is, if you wrong another, then what? You must go out and make amends. And if that means making amends by going to Beis Din, you have to do whatever you need to do in order to right the wrong. But if you wronged another, God has nothing to do with it. Yachi, if that's the case, Ema Seifa, look at the end of the phrase. V'im laHashem yechta'ish mi yispalelo. I but the end of the pasuk says what Rabosai, and if a person sins against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who will he dive into? Who will he dive into? Which seems to indicate that the Elohim mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To which the Gemara says Tshuva umasim tovim. To which the Gemara says no. What it means to say is that if a person does something wrong against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just enough to daven. If I've done something wrong against God, it's not just enough to daven, brother. What do I have to do? I have to engage in concrete, comprehensive, cathartic change actions, which are what? Tshuva and ma'asim tovim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, kala maknit es chaveru b'dvarim. I will say anybody, maknit literally means angers. Anyone who angers his friends, even with just words, meaning let's say I do something negative to someone, not in action, but I anger them with words. Sarich lefaiso, I have to go out of my way to appease him. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, Bonai, this is what we're quoting from Mishlei. Bini, my son, im arafta l'reacha, takata l'zar kapecha. If you have wronged your fellow, takata l'zar kapecha, outstretch your hand to the stranger. No kashta b'imre picha, if you have become ensnared or trapped in the words of your mouth, asei zos eifo b'ni, v'hinatzel, do this, my son, and be saved from this sin. Kibasa b'kaf reacha, you have come to the hand of your fellow, leich hisrafes v'rahav reacha. Ultimately, we'll explain each of these phrases in just a little bit. Leich hisrafes u'rafav u'ravinecha. Go ahead, Blech. I'm sorry. Blech, Hisrapes. Go ahead. Walk. Literally, go. Hisrapes Urahav. Treat him. Treat your friend. Literally, Hisrapes means like humble yourself before him. Urahav Re'echa. And treat him like a ruler. Now, what does this mean? In Mamon Yesh Biadecha, if you have your friend's money in your hand, Hatilo Pisas Yad. Open your hand to him, i.e., return to him what is rightfully his. Ve'im Lav. And if not, here ba'alav reim, meaning if it's not a monetary issue, but instead it's a relationship issue. So get a lot of your friends involved. And try to convince the person you wronged to forgive you. Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista, Tzarech lefaiso b'sholosh shuros al sholosh b'nei adam. Rabosai, if you have wronged someone, you have to approach them with three rows of people three times. We'll say what this means, and this is interesting, that halacha l'maaseh, if you wrong someone, there's a protocol for how you're supposed to ask for forgiveness. Look at Rashi, b'sholosh shuros. It's on Rashi here is on both columns on the staff. Look at the left-hand column, b'sholosh shuros. Sholosh panim yifaisu b'shlosha anoshim. If I wrong someone, I have to approach them three times, and I have to bring three people with me. I will say like a Beis Din. With three people. B'chol pam shina emar yashur lashon shura ve'in shura pechusa mishlosha b'nei adam. So you learn this out from this phrase yashur in this passage. Well, so again, obviously, if the whole idea of bringing three people is to try, you don't have, the reason you need that is to try to convince the person who I wronged to forgive me. So if, meaning if the person will just forgive me if I go myself, I don't have to start bringing three people three times. The idea is if the person is reticent to forgive me, the hope is by bringing additional people that will create the social pressure upon the wronged party to ultimately forgive me. Shene Amar, Yashur al Anoshim, Vayomar Chatosi, Vyashar Ha'avisi Velo Shavali. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina, Kol Mevakish Mato Mechavero. Rabbi Yossi, anyone who asks forgiveness from his friend, Al Yivakish Mimeni Yosir Mishalosh Pamim. Rabbi Yossi, it's very interesting that anyone who asks forgiveness from his friend ultimately should not ask more than three times. Three times, you know, also we saw this yesterday. Just like there's an obligation to go ahead and ask for forgiveness, there's also an obligation to what? There's an obligation to forgive. So halacha l'maisa, if I wrong another individual, I have to ask three times, but no more. Shene emar, ana, sana, viata, sana. So I'll say here, the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk in Bereishis. It's actually by Yosef and his brothers. And the Pasuk includes three Lashonos of forgiveness. Ara means please, which is Lashon forgiveness. Sana and Sana. Sana is written twice. Sana means please forgive. Please literally, please lift up. But please forgive. So the Gemara is running out from here. The fact that Yosef's brothers ultimately asked him for forgiveness three times indicates that when asking for forgiveness from another, you have an obligation to ask three times and no more. Three times and no more. V'imes, what happens if a person died, but I wronged someone, he died before I had a chance to ask forgiveness? Maybe asara b'nei adam, I have to bring a minion of people, u'ma'amidin al kivro, and I bring them to the wronged party's grave, v'omer, and I say, I being the one who wronged this now deceased individual, chatosi la'ashem elokei Yisrael, I sinned against Hashem, the God of Israel, Ulaploni shechavaltibo, and to so and so, chavaltibo literally means that I've damaged him. I will say, lav dafka physical damage, but I've done something wrong here. I will say, you should know, the Rambam codifies both of these ideas in Hilchos Tshuva. Number one, that there is a statute, not a statute of limitations, but there's a cap on forgiveness. At the end of the day, if I'm genuine in my forgiveness, I don't have to spend my life running after someone. So if I wrong them and I'm genuine in my request for forgiveness, I have an obligation to ask them three times and they have an obligation to forgive me. In fact, Ram writes in Hilchos Tshuva that if somebody asks you for forgiveness and you don't forgive, you become the Rasha. Quite amazing. You become the Rasha for failure to forgive. Failure to forgive. Ultimately, you wrong someone and they die. You do have to go through this process of bringing the minion to their kever. Rabbi Yirmiyah.
After the three?
I'm sorry?
Is it after the three?
Well, it depends when the guy died. No, you're saying if he died. If he died after the three? No, I don't think so. I think if he died after the three, you did your obligation. This is talking about before you had any chance to ask him during his lifetime. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Havilei Milsa, Rabbi Abba, Badei. Well, so listen to this.
Oh.
All right. Good. So, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah had a falling out with Rabbi Abba. Now, I will say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, so Rashi points out over here, Havilei Milsa Rabbi Abba Bahadei. Rashi says, Rabbi Abba, Hayolo lehisraim al Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shechatalo, Azul Rabbi Yirmiyah Eitziv Adashad Rabbi Abba. So, I will say, so what happened? Rabbi Yirmiyah wronged Rabbi Abba. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what occurred. Rabbi Yirmiyah wronged Rabbi Abba. So, what did he do? Azul Eitziv Adashad Rabbi Abba. So, Rabbi Yirmiyah went and he sat on the doorstep of Rabbi Abba to apologize to Rabbi Abba. So he's camping out at his doorstep to try to apologize. So what happened? As Rabbi Yirmiyah is sitting on the doorway of Rabbi Abba, the maid is cleaning out the bedpans, the chamber pans. And what happens? Mata zarzife demaya aresha. And what happened? So a little bit of the waste gets sprinkles on Rabbi Yirmiyah's head. What happens? He says, "Amar asauni ka'ashpa. They've made me into a garbage heap." Kra anafshe. He said about himself, "Me ashpos yarim evyon." He said about himself, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, please lift up the evyon, lift up the pauper from the ashpa, from the depth, from the garbage heaps." Sham Rabbi Abba. Right now, both say, obviously, this was not intentional. Rabbi Abba heard what happened. V'nofik la'apeh, he went out to Rabbi Yirmiyah and he said, "Amarlei, hashta tzrichna l'nefak adatach. Now I have to ask you forgiveness." Right? You wronged me. I will say, it's an incredible insight. You wronged me and you came here to ask forgiveness. I have no right, even though I didn't do it, but I have no right to allow you to be mistreated in my home. You came here to ask me forgiveness. Again, whether Rabbi Abba was aware that he, or not aware that he wasn't there, I have an obligation to forgive you, but I have no right to mistreat you. Shlomo says, incredible yisod, that even if somebody wrongs you, you have no right for reciprocity. You have no right to mistreat someone simply because they mistreated you. So now, Rabbi Abba says, you came to ask me for forgiveness. Now I have to ask you for forgiveness. Literally, humble yourself and treat your friend like a ruler. Reb Zera, I'll say another amazing story. Reb Zera, ki havile milsa bahadi, and she will say, this is amazing. When Rabbi Zera would have a falling out with someone, and I will say, what this is referring to over here is when Rabbi Zera was wronged by someone. When Rabbi Zera was wronged by someone, hava chalif v'tani lekamei umamtzilei, Rabbi Zera would go out of his way to always bump into the individual. Why? Ki hechi denesi v'nefok lemidaitei. Because I will say, Rabbi Zera, this is something about human psychology, which is, it is very difficult for people to apologize. Very difficult. So how do people deal when they have an interpersonal falling out? The way people deal with most problems, which is avoidance. And what happens? So I avoid the individual. Rabbi Zera realized what's going to happen. Somebody, right, Reuven wronged me. He's going to try to avoid me. Rabbi Zera said, listen, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't, I'm fine. I'm going on with my life. But at the end of the day, the person who wronged me, it's important for them that they apologize. It's important for them that they make amends. So what would he do? He'd go out of his way to kind of like bump into them, hoping that that by making himself available to them, they would seize the opportunity to apologize. And Rabbi Zera, this is not because Rabbi Zera needed the apology. This was a chesed that Rabbi Zera was doing for the person who wronged him to create the opportunity for apology. Okay. So what happened? So the Gemara tells another ma'aseh. So look at Rashi. Mamti nafshei lifnei mi shechatalo ulai yivakish mimenu mechila v'yimcho. Rabbi Zera was ready to go ahead and apologize. But Rabbi Zera also understood, this also a very interesting yisod. It's important to apologize. It's meaning even if I know the person who I wronged forgives me, it's still important to utter an apology. Rav havdei milsa b'hadei ha'u tivcha. Rav had a certain falling out with a butcher. Okay? Rashi says, Hatabach chata lo. The butcher wronged Rav. Lo asa lekame. And what happened? The butcher never came to Rav to apologize. What happened? B'ma'ali yom adikipuri. Amar ihu ezel ana lefayusele. So what happens? Rav says, listen, you know what? It's not Erev Yom Kippur. The butcher has not come to apologize. I'm going to go make myself available to the butcher. I'm going to go over to the butcher store. And this way, present him with the opportunity to apologize to me. Pogi be Rav Huna. So as Rav is going to the butcher, Rav Huna bumps into him. Amarle lehecha ka'azlmar. Where is the master going? Amarle lefayuse leplanya. I'm going to go ahead, literally, and make shalom with the butcher. I'm going to present myself to the butcher. He's going to apologize to me. Amar ezel abba lemikdil nafsha. He said, Abba Rabosa is the way that people often refer to their Rebbe. He said, also sometimes, according to some, Rav was also known by the name Abba. So either Rav was called Abba, or just in general, people called a Rebbe Abba. So he says, Abba, lemikdal nafsha azel. You're going to cause the death of the butcher. Now we'll say, now what was Rav Huna saying? Rav Huna seemed to be convinced that the butcher was not going to apologize. Now we'll say, here's the problem. So there's a double-edged sword. On one hand, if the wronged party makes himself available, it's wonderful. If the perpetrator apologizes, that's great. If the perpetrator doesn't apologize, it actually compounds everything because now he's had an opportunity to apologize and he still didn't. So Rav Huna is pretty confident that the butcher is not going to apologize and he kind of begs Rav, please don't do it. Rav is not convinced and he goes on. Azul the kamiluye. So what happens? Rav comes in, takes a seat in the butcher shop. The kapali reshe. And what happens? When the butcher's there, he was cracking the bones in the head of the animal. I guess there's also some meat in the head of the animal. So what you would do is they would crack the bones to be able to get the meat. Okay, what happens? Dal ene, the butcher lifts up his eyes. The chazye, and he sat and he sees that Rav is there. Amrle, Abba at, your Abba, zeal, less zeal, get out. Less le milsa bahadach. I have nothing to say to you. That didn't quite work out as planned. So the Gemara says, Bahadi dikapali reshe. So the butcher continued literally hammering the head of the animal. And what happened? Bahadi dikapali reshe. Ishtamit garma. A bone shot out of the head. Umachye bekue vekatle. Enlarged itself in the throat of the butcher. And the butcher died. Okay. Rav havapasik sidra kame derebi. Another amazing. Before you turn the page, look at the last Rashi. Rav Havapasik Sidra Rashi says, Parshas Mikra Shal Nevim Oshel Ksuvim. Rav was giving a shir. So not Nevim and Ksuvim. So Rav was giving a shir in Navi or in Ksuvim. What happened? Pasik Sidra Kamei De Rebbe. Rav is teaching Rebbe. Ayol Asa Rebchia Hadrish. So listen to this. You can imagine this scene. So Rav started teaching Rebbe. Rav Chiya walked in a couple of minutes late. So what does Rav do? Hadra the Reisha. Rav goes back to the... Okay, we're going to start again. Finally, start again. A couple of minutes later, Ayel Bar Kafra. Bar Kafra comes in. We'll start again. Hadra the Reisha. Asir Rav Shimon Berebi. Then a couple of minutes later, Rav Shimon Berebi walks in. What happens? Rav says again, fine. Hadra the Reisha. Asa Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama walked in, and Rav had enough. He said, you know what? Amar... Kule hai nehadir vaazil. Do we have to keep going back? Lo hadir. And he did not go back. So again, Rabbi said, for all the previous Rabbanim, Rav went back. When Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama walked in, Rav did not go back. Ikpit Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina was offended. Azil Rav legabe tleser ma'ale diyomi dikipuri. Velo efayis. Rabbi said, for 13 years, Rav went to Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama every year on Erev Yom Kippur to ask for Mechila, and Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama would not grant it. Okay? Vehechi Avetachi. True. Vehechi Avetachi. And now the Gemara says, how exactly is that? And the Gemara first says, Hechi Avetachi. The Gemara is first asking on Rav. Why did Rav go for 13 years? After all, we just learned, Vaham Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, whoever asks forgiveness from his friend, right? We learned just before they only have to ask three times. To which the Gemara says, "Rav Shaini." Rav will say, "So look at Rashi. There are two ways to understand this. Rav Shaini, Rashi says, is machmir hayala atzmo. Rav was machmir. You're right. The halacha says you normally only have to ask forgiveness three times. Rav was machmir. Now Rav will say, if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel." So you see the Rabbeinu Chananel, you should have it on the lower left-hand column of your page. You see that? You have it there?
Right.
You have it on the right?
The right hand side.
Okay. Oh, so maybe our formats are different over here. Okay, we have different formats. I'm sorry. So I'm just going to read to you the Rabbeinu Chananel. The Rabbeinu Chananel says, Aval Talmid Bahadei Rav Shaini, Kilomar, Rabbi Chanina Rabo Shal Rav Hava. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that Rav Shaini, see the way Rashi understands Rav Shaini is that Rav refers to Rav the person. Rav is different. Rav was machmir on himself. Rabbeinu Chananel says no. What the Gemara is saying is Rav Shaini. When a Talmud offends his Rebbe, that's a different parsha. And Rabbeinu Chananel says over here that Rabbi Chanina was in fact the Rebbe of Rav. The Rebbe of Rav. And therefore, again, Rabbi will say, when you go ahead and you offend the regular person, so then Lamaise, again, three times is the limit. If Chas Shalom, a person offends their Rebbe, then the halacha is you keep on asking Mechila until when? Until the Rebbe ultimately is Mochel. So Machlok is Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, how to understand that Gemara. So now the Gemara has another question. Rabbi Chanina Echidat Achi. So we'll say, okay, even if Rav is obligated to go ahead and keep asking Mechila from Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Chanina is his Rebbe, how did Rabbi Chanina not forgive? Right? 13 years every year, Rav Shalomich, and you don't forgive. So it's actually very interesting. Gemara says, Vaha Amar Rava. Rava said, Kol HaMa'avir Al Midosav. Ma'avir Lo. Excuse me. Kol HaMa'avir Al Midosav. Ma'avirin Lo Al Kol Pshav. But we learned about say, Kol HaMa'avir Al Midosav. We'll say, Kol HaMa'avir Al Midosav means someone who's, for lack of a better term, we'll call it easygoing. Someone who lets things go. Ma'avir literally means Ma'avir Al Midosav allows his midos to pass. So we'll say, which means someone who's forgiving. So we learn that someone who is forgiving, ma'avirin la'akol b'sharabol say, remember, you know, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh brings down on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem Tzilcha. So what is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shadow? So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, I'm sorry, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, Hashem is your shade. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh translated as, Hashem is your shadow. I will say, what's the chap with your shadow? Your shadow does whatever you do. The Baal Shem Tov says, the way we conduct ourselves with each other is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts himself with us. If we are forgiving of one another, ma'avir amidosav, then amazingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forgiving of us as well. It's the greatest incentive, by the way, to be a forgiving individual. Because I know I have a lot of stuff that I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive me for. The greatest way to get God to forgive me for my trespasses against him is to forgive others for their trespasses against me. Quite amazing. Ella, so I'll say, so meaning, so the Gemara is asking, so Rabbi Chanina, why are you being so difficult? To Ella says, this is amazing. Ella, Rabbi Chanina, chal machazile. Rabbi Chanina had a dream. Ella say, what was the dream? Chazile, the Rav, de zakfuhu bedikla. Ella say, Rabbi Chanina had a dream. And the dream was that he saw Rav hanging from a date palm. And I will say, this is actually a good dream, right? Hanging from a date palm, ugmiri, and there's a mistar that says, "Dichol dezakvuhu bedikla rei shahavi." Whoever hangs from the palm tree, that's a simon ultimately that person will become the Rosh Hashiva. I will say, a date palm is considered to be a palm tree. First of all, it's a tall tree. Second of all, it's a tree that produces much fruit. It's a sign ultimately of what's the word? Vitality. Vitality. So the Gemara in the ninth part of Brachos that discusses dreams discusses this, that one who saw themselves either climbing on a palm tree or hanging from a palm tree, that is a sign of future success and vitality. So Rabbi Chanina had a dream that he saw that Rav was hanging from a palm tree. And what did he say? Amar Shmamina Boi Lime Abed Rishusa. So what happened? Did we see, he saw from this that it was a sign that Rav was going to become the Rosh Yeshiva. Now we'll say, so you'll say that it's wonderful, but look at Rashi. There's only one problem. Rashi says, "Chal machazil Rav, ra chalom arav shetlu bedekel v'usim nesias Rosh Yigudul Rabbi Chanina Rosh Yeshiva haya." Here was the problem. Essentially, Rabbi Chanina had a dream. Rabbi Chanina had a dream that Rav was going to take his job. Then I both say, understand, there was only one way you stopped being Rosh Yeshiva, and that was how you died. Right? Unless, of course, there was some kind of... I shouldn't say that. There are other examples of people who engaged in inappropriate behavior, right? They have the famous Maisa Misachas Brachos, where one of the Nisim, you know, embarrassed someone else. So, unless there was some kind of, like, egregious behavior, so people remained in that position until they died. So if you're Rabbi Chanina, and you have a dream about Rab becoming Rosh Yeshiva, that spells only one thing, which is that you're going to die. Rabbi Chanina is very scared about this, so what does he do? What does he do? Rashi says. Rashi says, therefore, velo ifayis. Rabbi Chanina refused to forgive him, hoping that what? That Rav will go find another job in Bavel. So he says he didn't forgive him, not because he didn't really forgive him, but because the Maisa, he's kind of looking out a little bit for his own life, which we can't totally fault him for, hoping that if he doesn't forgive him enough times, Rav will say, you know what? I need to move out of town. I need to go to a different place. We'll go to teach. Let him become a Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel and not in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here that Rashi chalma chazir el Rav. Look at the last couple of lines. Ukishera chalam ze arav da'ag lamus. So Rabbi Chanina sees the dream about Rav hanging from the date tree. He begins to... So Rabbi Chanina is scared that he's going to die. Lefi shein malchus nogas bechaverta. Literally one monarchy, which is another... The Rashi Yeshiva will also like quasi-monarchs. One monarchy cannot overlap with another, even a hair's breadth. Amr itchie mehacha. Let me get Rav out of here. V'yivrach lebavel. Let him go to Bavel. Mifanai. V'shami hiye rosh. V'lo nitchin lamos bishvilo. Let it be a Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel. And let me live. Fine. The Gemara goes weiter. Turn around, Banan. Mitzvah vidui. The mitzvah vidui is Erev Yom Kippur v'machashecha. Rabbi says, see, now the Gemara is going to talk about vidui. So vidui means confession. Hashamnu bagandu. Actually, we'll discuss exactly what vidui is. But when do we perform the mitzvah of vidui on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, Erev Yom Kippur v'machashecha. We do it, first of all, on Erev Yom Kippur at night. Erev Yom Kippur v'machashecha means nighttime. Nighttime. Maariv time. Aval Amru Chacham, the Chacham said, Yesvada kodim shiyocha v'yishter. Rabbi said, you should do vidui even before you eat and drink, which Shabbos says halach l'maisa, we do even when on minchan erev Yom Kippur. Why is that? Shema titarif daito besuda. Because Shabbos says, what are we concerned about? Literally, maybe you'll go ahead and you'll get drunk during the suda. I will say, imagine getting drunk during the suda mafsekes. That does not work well. But l'mais, again, remember, suda mafsekes and erev Yom Kippur is a real yomtiv dik meal. So what happens if, God forbid, a person drinks a little bit too much and ends up what? Ends up falling asleep and ultimately sleeps through kol nidre. So we're concerned that a person may not say vidui at night. So therefore, we have a vidui on erev Yom Kippur as well. And even though you did vidui by mincha, what happens? Misvada la'achar she'yochal v'yishta. You go ahead and you do vidui again at night. Why? Shema era davarkat kalkala besuda. Because maybe you committed a sin during sudas hamafsegas. Maybe it's supposed to say again, even though I remember you're reciting all of these viduim in close proximity to each other. So now I'm reciting a vidui by mincha before I eat, lest I become drunk and not end up reciting vidui at night. I'm going to recite vidui at night again, even though I recited it by mincha time before Yom Kippur. Why? Because maybe I did something wrong at this su'udah. V'afa pi shesvada arves, and even though I did vidui at night, yisvada shachris, I have to do vidui during shachris. Shachris, even though I did vidui at shachris, yisvada musaf, I have to do vidui musaf. B'musaf, even though I did vidui musaf, yisvada mincha. B'mincha, yisvada b'ni'ila. So what's that? The Gemara says over, you see from here that lamaisa, you do vidui essentially every single opportunity throughout the day. The heichan omro, and where does one recite vidui? Yochid achar tfiloso. Rabbi said the individual in Shemona Esrei recites his vidui after Shemona Esrei. Also remember, we know when we recite vidui, vidui is actually recited at I have finished Shemona Esrei. Remember, I've said Hamborech Esamo Yisrael Bashalom already. I just haven't said Elokai Nitzor. And I insert vidui after my Shemona Esrei. However, Ushliach Tzibor Omer Be'em. So the Shliach Tzibor ultimately says it in the middle. All right, Rabbi, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up right over here today. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. We have time for tomorrow. Shkoyach.
Isn't it brought that you might choke and you soda?